Sunday. We're so glad that you all are here this morning. If you are a first-time visitor visiting with us, we just ask that you fill out the little envelope that's in front of you in the pew and just tell us a little bit more about yourself and then drop it in the offering plate as it comes by. The beautiful flowers that are placed in the sanctuary this morning up in the baptistry are given in honor of Leonard and Elaine Harris by the chancel choir. The finance committee would like to remind you that they are now accepting budget requests and they are due by next Sunday. So please get that done if you will. The sanctuary will be open tomorrow for World Day of Prayer. If you would like to come and pray, it will be open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. So we would invite you to come out and pray if you can do that. And then a reminder for any of the kids that are going to Children's Mission Day in Zebulun this coming Saturday. We will be meeting at the church at 7:30 a.m. You know, it's a little early. We've got to leave by 7:45 in order to get to the church on time. Just want to go over a few prayer requests that we have and to mention a few things that are going on. Robert Pope passed away. That is Vic Pope's dad. Visitation will be today at Poole Funeral Home in Knightdale from 3 to 5. And then the funeral will be tomorrow at Heritage Baptist Church in Zebulun, and that is at 2 o'clock. Fran Thomas will be having a Mohs procedure done on Thursday. And then we also want to remember Pastor Gary, who had a little accident this past week with his finger, cut a tendon, and so we just want to be praying for him as he has to see about that. And then also we just got word that Kurt Connell, Diane Fushee's son-in-law, is in the hospital. He's in the ER. They're currently checking for blood clots. So if we could just be in prayer for all of those prayer requests that were mentioned, that would be wonderful. And as always, please take a look over your bulletin so you can keep up to date on what is going on with our church. And now, if you will, let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are to be gathered today in your house with friends of this church who have come home. Today, as we celebrate all the wonderful work that your servants are doing, we also want to remember the many ways in which we see you moving. May our worship this day be pleasing to your ears and to your spirit, O God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Comes down, I'm gonna pray. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. When the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
Join us by turning to hymn number 425. We're going to sing first, third, and fifth of He Keeps Me Singing. Let us stand as we sing, please.
Dear Lord, thank you for this day, such a beautiful day, and Homecoming Sunday. And we ask that you have travel mercies for all the people who have traveled here. We also ask that you go with the Reverend as he delivers his message this morning so that everybody hears what they need to hear, Lord, and gets what they need to get out of the message. We ask that you take these offerings and use them to further thy kingdom. In thy holy name we pray. Amen.
children, come on down to your place.
My life. Thank you for the angels that protect me on my way. Thank you for the blood that has washed my sins away. I will spend my life giving thanks. Thank you for the mercy that you show me every day. Thank you for the angels that protect me on my way. Thank you for the blood that has washed my sins away. I will spend my life giving thanks. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One.
Giving thanks.
I will spend my life giving thanks. The Lord's been so good, I've got to praise His name. I will spend my life giving thanks. The Lord has been so good, I've got to praise His name. I will spend my life giving thanks. I just want to
this is one, I have to say a little something about this song. When Mother passed away, Annette Keith was directing the choir for me so I could go be with the family. And I asked her, I said, well, look, I'd love to have this song sung at Mama's funeral. If there's a solo or a trio or a small group, I'd sure appreciate it. And I was very pleased when I got there. And Annette and the instruments, we're all there in that little country church in Randolph County, and this is a song that they sang. No, wait, let me explain. Wrong song. That's the one the choir will do. Oh, yeah. This one was not it. Sorry.
Save that for later.
Yeah, but that will be later. I won't introduce it again.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. I can't wait to be there. I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. I can't wait to be there. One of these days I'm going home where no sorrows ever come.
We'll soon be done.
We'll soon be done with troubles and trials.
Troubles and trials.
Safe from heartache, pain, and care. We shall all that glory share.
And I'm gonna
sit down beside of my Jesus.
Lord, I'm gonna
sit down and rest a little while.
We'll soon be done.
We'll soon be done with troubles and trials.
Troubles and trials in that home.
Yes, in that home on the other side.
On the other side.
I'm gonna shake glad hands with the elders,
Lord,
and tell my kindred good morning.
Then I'm gonna
sit down beside of my Jesus.
Lord, I'm gonna
sit down and rest a little while. I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I'm gonna let the glory roll when the roll is called in glory. I'm gonna get beside of myself when I get beside the King that day. I'm gonna have the time of my life when the time of my life is over. I'm gonna get carried away when I get carried away. I'm gonna let the glory roll when the roll is called in glory. I'm gonna get beside of myself when I get beside the King that day. King that day.
ready for a new day dawning.
I'm getting ready for a brand new morning.
Packing my bags for a heavenly journey.
I can't wait to be there.
I can't wait to be there. I can't wait to get carried away.
Like to thank Leonard for all the years that he has played for us. We've been singing together about 35 years since Leonard came, and we spent many hours practicing and talking and sharing, and those were some of the best times I can remember. Leonard, thank you. We appreciate Regina and Gail filling in for you today.
To go back to that old country church and to hear the songs of praise. How the people would sing, it would make the heavens ring at the old country church. Shall we gather at the river where bright angel feet have trod? On the everlasting arms.
few weeks ago, I was asked by our Minister of Music, Jimmy Allen, to make a list of former choir directors here at Flat Springs. So with the help of J.O. Bridges Jr. and Gail and Tommy Luck and Stephanie Bridges, these are the names and the order in which they served as best we can recall. Now keep in mind, we're going back 65 years. We believe we have mentioned everyone. However, if we have failed to mention anyone or the order in which we have them listed, you must understand it is unintentional. In January of 1951, the original Little White Wooden Church was remodeled to an extent on the inside, and a choir loft was enclosed to the left of the pulpit where the minister stood. J.O. Bridges Jr. organized and directed our first adult choir. Dawson Back Furniture Company in Sanford sold us straight-backed wooden chairs for $3 a piece. That's what we sat in. That first choir also brought their own robes. At the insistence of the choir, J.O. and Sophia Johnson, who was our pianist then, went to Stevenson Music Company in Raleigh and picked out a Hammond spinet organ, and members of the choir paid for that organ, making monthly payments until the organ was paid for. Around 1953, Reverend Melvin Henderson was called to become our minister, and he also directed the choir. Then around 1958, Reverend Lawrence Childs was called to be our pastor, and he likewise directed the choir. Until the mid to early 1960s, and Reverend Robert Dukes directed for a few months. J.O. Bridges then stepped back in and became director until Mrs. Marguerite Garner became director. Ms. Garner began leading the adult choir in 66 or 67 as a part-time adult choir director. She soon began the little kids choir on Wednesday afternoons. The children would walk from Deep River School down through the little copse of woods here to the church, have refreshments, and then choir practice. She started the youth choir and a formal youth group, retiring as choir director in August of 1977. As best we remember, Richard Sistrunk then came and served several months as choir director. At his resignation, Mrs. Louise Smith directed the adult choir for a brief while. And then in fall of 1978, at the recommendation of a search committee, Mr. Leonard Harris Jr. was called to be our Minister of Youth and Music. And he served until his retirement in 2014, almost 36 years. Upon his retirement, Brad Bovaire assumed that responsibility until the church called Mr. Jimmy Allen in November of 2014 to be our minister of music, and that brings us today. We have been blessed and fortunate for lo these 65 years.
This is the song I was talking about.
Thank you. And the people said,
Amen.
It has been a wonderful day to this point, and we're not even done yet. And that's good. Tommy, I am so delighted they quit the preacher leading the choir. And I know y'all are going to he kept going. I said, oh boy, I hope I didn't break that tradition. But, what a special day. What a special day. You may have noticed we have a veil over here. We're about to unveil that because, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do first. John, I'm going to go ahead and get you over yonder. I asked John to come because John is our chairman of deacons right now, but also he served in another part of the ministry that Leonard helped us with, and so he has a moment here.
Well, Tommy got a few weeks' notice. I got a few minutes' notice.
Right.
But also, Leonard was our director of youth. So Gary's asked anyone that was a member of Leonard's youth group to please stand for a second. So look at all these folks you influenced.
And you notice John was standing too. So. But that was an important part of his ministry. Leonard, come stand with me, please. Leonard and I shared a decade of service together. And so that means I've served with you longer than anybody else in this capacity as pastor and the music minister. And, of course, I'm always mindful of Gail and Regina and you together playing for the entire time you were here, the 36 years you served in this capacity. I want to thank all the groups that have sung. You saw how we put Leonard right back to work, you see, put him. I was afraid you weren't going to be playing the piano for the harmonettes, but that's just who Leonard is. I want to say a word of thanks to Jimmy for getting all this lined up and for every group that sang and every person that's here today for this very special occasion. I actually mentioned to the biblical recorder that I thought we might have a record, and I still think we might, to have a music minister and a pianist and an organist that played for almost four decades together. That's pretty amazing, and it has blessed us. And let me ask, if you served or you were under any of the direction that Leonard did as a member of the choir, would you please stand for just a second? And they're a lot behind you too. And again, thank you for your faithfulness as well. And you may be seated. So it is very obvious the impact that the Lord has used upon Leonard. Leonard didn't know his upbringing was that of, he was raised with a father who had a music school, and Leonard kind of thought that would not be his path. In fact, he joined the military to make sure it wasn't his path. But the Lord, I think of what Mordecai said to Esther. We just finished an Esther study. The ladies have for such a time as this. I think, Leonard, you were born, and we are honored to have had the bulk of your ministry at Flat Springs Baptist Church for the 36 years that you served with us. And so today, we would like to bestow upon you the honor and the title, and no salary, sorry about that, but the honor, because you deserve it, you earned it, and we feel the Lord wanted to bestow it upon you. So today, as a vote of our church several months ago, we will now bestow that honor upon Leonard to be our Music of Minister Emeritus. And we have a plaque. I'll ask them to unveil that plaque. And it says, Leonard E. Harris, Jr., there you go, Minister of Music, June 1978, August 2014. Honored as Minister of Music Emeritus, November the 5th, 2017, Flat Springs Baptist Church. I can't clap, but would y'all please?
love you, brother. What a wonderful day. You don't have a word?
Well, if you got time.
Come on, we got time. That's why we started a half hour early.
Well, I won't go a half hour, but it's been a great fellowship. And the Lord has blessed us all, and especially me and my family. My girls grew up in the church, and they helped me with it. My wife helped me. In fact, I married my pianist when I was at Carolina Pines Baptist. And that's really the benefit that you received, was her contribution to me directing. But they've helped me through so many times, and it's been a wonderful fellowship. And y'all are a wonderful congregation and a wonderful community. The Deep River community is certainly a wonderful community. And I hope that you will realize the wonderful community and the wonderful church that you have, and that you will dedicate it to the church and be willing and ready when the nominating committee calls to shoulder those positions that are so needed in the church. The Lord needs you to be active on his work in this area. Thank you for the day, and thank you for singing with me, and thank you, Jimmy, for the work you've done. And I hope there'll be many more days that you can do this. And my time has come to where I've retired, and I think it's time. But we want to keep Jimmy working, and you pray for him that he might continue on. Thank you.
Stay right here. Stay right here. That's I did want to ask the family. They are here today. We're glad to have them. Would y'all please stand with him as you have for a long, long time, and we are delighted that you're here. We're going to let y'all eat first when we go to eat, so we're delighted that you're here. And again, thank you for this special day. I'll give you one more time. God bless you. Thank you. And, very good. Very good. We ask... Also, we have another very special guest with us from 1968 until 1973. It's hard to find somebody that was before Leonard, but we were able to do that. Baxter Prevatt served as the pastor at Flat Springs Baptist Church. Throughout his entire ministry of almost 40 years, he only pastored three churches, and we were his second. Laurinburg here, and then he pastored for 26 years at Wendell Baptist Church. And then he retired at age 65, and I think he's 67 now. Anyway, he has served 13 churches as interim and supply and in many other capacities. So that's pretty amazing. Three churches through his entire full-time ministry, and now 13 churches since he has retired, and he just finished a couple of weeks ago serving. His wife Jean could not be with us, but we are delighted, Baxter, that you are here and God continues to use you. And on this homecoming Sunday, hadn't it been a good homecoming day? It's good to see the church full as well. We want to hear you, and so there's one more song that I think our choir and FSYC are going to sing together. And after that, Baxter, we'll ask you to come, and as the Lord lays upon your heart, you bring the message he has shared with you.
I'm going to get the youth to come on up. We're adding the youth to the adult choir, but at the end of this song, I'm going to turn around and ask all of you to stand and sing the last verse of Amazing Grace, the When We've Been There 10,000 Years, along with us. We'll make one big mass choir today.
Thank you. breaks the power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger. The King of glory, the King above all kings, who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder, who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace.
I appreciate being invited to Flat Springs Baptist Church. And me and my family have some precious memories of this place. We came here with children like this. I think Steve was about 5 or 6, and Ron and Terry was 14, 15, 16, along in there. And I won't take a lot of time about family, but I am aware that some of you all, or many of you all, have prayed for our family. Jean is at home, and she is not able to get up and move about like we are today. And our daughter Lisa, and I'm aware that some of you have kept up with Lisa, and about a year and a half, 2 years ago, she had a bilateral lung transplant, which means that she was near death and had only 20%, and had that surgery done. And she has come through that. And when we were here, and during those times, that was unheard of. Take out your lungs and put some in. And we did that. I had started out the door to preach at White Oak that morning, 18 months ago, and the phone rang, and it was Lisa. She said, "Daddy, I've been over here 4 times the last month," and said, "Every time, it doesn't work out. They couldn't get the unit to fit her." And those things come on airplanes, and you have to be ready for them. And I said, "Honey, I'm supposed to preach in about 30 minutes. And I said, "I tell you what I'll do. Tell me when you're going to go in surgery, and I'll do my best to be there at that time." And I'm going there, you know, where White Oak is. Some of you do. And so I went, and they allowed me to preach first. And the whole group came forward to pray for Lisa, and they did. And 3 people were operated on that week, and the first one died. The second one passed away, and Lisa was the third. And she was the only one that lived through that. And she is in good health now. Jean has had surgeries for the last 3 years, serious surgery. And when I left her this morning, she had tears in her eyes and said, "Tell everybody that I love them and we miss them." And she would have loved to have been here, Pastor, you know, sitting right there. But she has helped us raise a family. And I don't know, I won't take long about the family, but had a call from Ron. Some of you know Ron. Some of the older used to be girls maybe know him better than others. Nobody bothered Steve when we were here. He was 4, 5, 6. But let me give you a quick update about Ron. Has done ministry the rest of his life. He was going into some type of law affection and all, and he did it 6 months, and one night I answered the phone, and he said, "Daddy, I can't do this no more." And I said, "Do what?" He said, "I've been chasing juvenile delinquents all over this place, and I'm in Rocky Mountain now." And I said, "Well, son, you know, you have to do things that you don't like to do." And he said, "Yes, but," he said, "I can't do what I'm doing now." And I said, "Well, what are we going to do?" And he said, "I'm going to do ministry." And so we all went to Campbell, and they all did, except Lisa. Lisa said, "I want to go somewhere else." But anyway, Ron has been in the ministry in Alabama. He served in the Raleigh area for while he was in school, but he went to Alabama about 20, 22 years ago, and he has stayed in one church has retired at 62. And he has told me that, I said, "Son, when you coming home?" And he said, "That Dad, we've been down here so long, we probably won't come home." And I said, "Not until I pass away," something like that. And but Ron is doing great. And he is still, he's not in active ministry now because he's retired, but he still loves the Lord and does things for the Lord. Steve, I'll give you a quickie on him. He has been in Greenville, North Carolina now with his family. Same situation, in that he said, "Dad, I can't do this no more." And I said, "And what are we going to do?" And he said, I'm going to go ahead and do ministry like we've talked about. And so Steve has been in ministry now for 20-some-odd years. And he has recently moved from Greenville. And he knows some of the people who go to Greenville there. And he is serving there for 20 years till his kids grew up. And he is now serving as of a year and a half ago as a minister in Tennessee. And he went there to help them to start a Sunday school. It was kind of a church that was a large church, but and was originally Baptist, but somehow or another they got something else in, but a beautiful, beautiful place there. I haven't been up there yet, and he's saying, come on and preach for me. And now he's saying, come on up here and work with me, because they have just called him as the pastor of that church. 1,500 members. Now, he's beat me and Mom and all, but he has been blessed. The boys have been blessed. Lisa has been blessed, and my goodness, I can think now, and I got my book out, and it was looked like it was brand new, and I found most of you. You don't look like I looked when I was here, because I've got some gray hair, but God has blessed us. And Lisa is still active in work. She had to quit work, but now she is doing work for the Lord. I said all that to say this, that God has a plan for your life, and he has a plan for mine. And I have tried my best to seek out that plan. And it's good for me to come this morning and to see and to hear and to share in fellowship with people that I love and that have been meaningful and helpful to me as we do ministry. I thought that I would, go. I served one church 5.5, and I served you all 5.5. One of the reasons I left, I was going back to do a master's and a doctoral program, and we did that back to back, and I was going to stay in Wendell 5 years and move on somewhere else, but we're still there, and God has blessed in so many ways, and I'm blessed to be here with you today, and I have good memories. I won't go into any lengthy thing, but I thought I did some of the baptizing in Laurinburg, but I was wet behind the ears, and all I knew how to do is take them and just put them under the water. Well, when I got here, we had some people from time to time that were being baptized, and I'll share this and then move on to what we're here for. A young man, and I'm not going to call his name, nor the name of the family. And he may be here or he may not be here. But we had some good reaction, and people joined the church while we were here. And we just had a good time of growing in that time. And so I had my second baptism. And one of the mothers said, the two boys, I'm not going to tell you who the two boys are. She said, now the big boy, my oldest son, said the young one's not going to be baptized now, but the older one wants to be baptized, but he's scared to death of water. And I said, well, I'll talk to him. And I took him, and we went up there, and he was a good-sized boy. I mean, he's talking about 150-plus, you know, along in there. And I told him, and he said, now tell me what I got to do. And I said, well, you got to go under that water there, and I'm going to help you. And he was bigger than I was. And so he said, I'm okay. And when we got up there, I looked at him and I said, are you okay? And he said, I'm okay. And when I took this and did this, he wouldn't let me put his head under the water. And he started doing this, and I said, it's okay. So I finally got him standing up, and here's the punchline. Right there, instead of, I told him he needed to come in this way and go out that way. Well, when he started coming out, he came right through this way. No joke. He came, and I said, and I had stayed back there to hold him. And I was holding him, and some of the deacons saw I was in trouble. So they got up, and I just held him, and I said, come back. And he slid back, and it was embarrassing a little bit. But the congregation did like we've done this morning. We laughed. That's what happens in ministry, Pastor. Amen. It goes from here to here. And there's a lot that I could say about my children because they have been a blessing. And Steve was the church he's serving. And we didn't know this till about 3 weeks ago, that the children that live far away from us said, Daddy said, did you know that Steve's church is on television and y'all can see it every Sunday morning? And I said, no, I don't think so. He said, no, I don't either. You can do it. And so sure enough, so since Gene don't go to church, we get to see Steve, and he has a wonderful, wonderful church there. And it's growing. It's kind of a senior thing. They have a lot of seniors in the church. That means older people. Mm-hmm. And he's doing a good job there. And Steve has gone a little bit past 52, 53, somewhere along in there. But I want to thank you for allowing me to come today. And I wish I could have brought my whole family, but they're doing what they have to do too. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to look at two passages of Scripture, and I'll read those quickly. In the book of Mark, chapter 8, and I would like to read from verse 34 through the rest of that chapter, which is four or five passages there. Mark chapter 8, 34 through 38. Then he called the crowd to him. This is Jesus. He called the crowd to him alone with his disciples, said, here's what I want you to hear. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and the sake of the gospel will save it. verse 36. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and then in the end lose his, if he's ashamed of me, and loses his own soul, my words will be with him, and the Son of Man will be ashamed of him. Jesus is saying the word, I will be ashamed of him when he comes to us with the Father, and glory will be that day and that choice. That's a passage. And then one quick passage that I'll go through with Matthew 7. And it's called here, Narrow and Wide Gates. Enter in, this is Jesus, enter in through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter in through this, and many enter through this, and the small gate, and the narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few makes that. I use these passages of scripture because of some reading that I have been doing of late, and I've preached about this some maybe 20 years ago. The road, the royal road, and then the road less traveled. The road less traveled. We'll find part of those scriptures in what I'm going to talk with you about for a few minutes this morning. And the statement of Jesus is one of the most authenticated sayings of Jesus that we find in the Bible in six places in the New Testament. And it is often repeated and appears in each of those four Gospels. It is the central, in my way of thinking, it is the central, the teachings of Jesus that reveals our Lord's central truth about how we live our lives. How we live our lives. And we are talking today about the royal road as one choice, and then the other one, the road less the road less traveled. It gives us a peace of mind and heart as we look at the gospel and see the fundamental way that Jesus is talking about it. And it would seem almost something that doesn't sound right. He teaches, and listen to what it says. He teaches that we are saved by losing, and then we lose by saving. And I'll elaborate on that in just a moment. It has been said that the American people are the most peculiar and spending nation that has ever lived, at least this country. We have more time, we have more leisure, we have shorter hours to work, we have more vacations, more holidays, more conveniences, larger incomes than any people that we know of in the world. And yet, we cannot be satisfied. Sometimes we cannot even rest and worry and fret over things that we cannot have power over unless we seriously think about it. Psychologists and psychiatrists have suggested reasons for this restlessness of life. A deep sense of guilt over the past and a suppressed conscience is also blamed for people who are sometimes dealing with unrest in their lives. In addition to this, I would suggest that many people today have just become bored at life and bored with superficial pleasures that we seem to go after from time to time. What we are inside seems to be rebelling against the shallow things we do with our lives. And if we completely desensitized our souls and our spirits, then what is left for us to give God and but unrest and discontent and unhappiness? I ask the question, as this is the first part. What is the answer? What is the way out if you get in something that you don't know what to do with? The way out. And there is what we're calling here, and I have a reason to do this. There is a royal road that we will walk and travel on that. And then there is another road that we will travel as we go away from God. What is the way out? The answer, I believe, for those who possess a sense of guilt and who are suffering from a guilty conscience because of sin that can be found in our lives, in a redemptive experience with Jesus Christ. You know, if you're going to read the Bible sometime, we have to realize that we have sin in our lives. We're tempted. John 3:16, Jesus, well, he talks many places. He said, you must be born again. Another passage in John 4, and I'll relate to that a little bit later. But there must be cleansing and renewing of our spirits. And we must be right, not in just the head, but we must be right within, in our hearts. And I was reading the other day, and this was some time ago, about Mother Teresa, winner of Nobel Peace Prize from Calcutta. And a lady by the name of Pat Mitchell was saying what she was getting out of this, and I happened to see what they were talking about. She said, what is that peace that we all are searching for? Now, this is Mother Teresa. Different congregation from us, but a godly woman who loves God. She says, we have to have that and then have a clean heart. A clean heart. He who hath the scripture back. He who hath clean hands and a pure heart is the one that will see God again. And no one can do this, prepare us for that, except Jesus Christ. And the passage that I read in John's gospel, he was telling the disciples, he said, it's not going to be long until I'm going to go away from you. And they said, don't do that. Don't do that. Let us go too. And he said, no, you can't go at this time. But clean hands and a pure heart it takes to see God. Jesus Christ can come in with his forgiveness and cleanse our lives and heal our broken hearts and broken lives. No one can do this except him. I mentioned John 14 in verse 6 and 7. It says here, he said, don't be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many, many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. We can remember remarkably well the times that we have gone astray with God. There have been times that all of us have done things and we stop and say, why did I do that? And there is a disease, I call it, of sin. And this can only be cured by the love of God in Jesus Christ. And Ephesians 2:8-9, he says it for us. For by grace you are saved. This experience of restlessness may be arrested by material means, but it cannot be removed by human endeavor. The preacher can help you. He can show you the way, but he cannot decide for you. It takes divine intervention, divine recreation, and a new life. The principle must be obtained and kept. Have you ever seen someone who has given the testimony that they tried, I've done this perhaps everywhere I've ever preached, talking to somebody about how, you know, they said, Lord, I've done the best that I can, and I can't seem to get it right. But meaning to say God hasn't been my answer. But we know that that is not the case. In another way, in addition to a redemptive experience in life, there must be also a worthy purpose. Worthy purpose. I'd like for those of us who are able to do so to try to figure out, maybe we're getting close to a new year, Pastor, and we'll be doing some changes, going here and there, teaching, and that's a good thing. But what is your purpose? Here it is. What is your purpose for living? I jotted down these, and I could agree with all of these that I put down here. Is it money? Is it houses and land and cars and boats and gadgets and other things? Is it that? Is that what your life purpose is? These things may be good and desirable, but they're material things, and you don't get to take that with you to heaven. These do not satisfy the deeper longing of our hearts. And the best things in life are found not on the road that's an error road, but on the high road, the royal road of life, like I faced it there in the passage. What is your purpose in life? Is it for self? Do you do what you do just for yourself? Or is it for others, helping other people that are moving on and forth? What are you spending your life for? And what are you giving yourself to? The actual aims of our lives could be revealed and projected upon a screen like that we sometimes do. What if they flashed your life, the way that you've lived the last year, two or three, up there? You could see what you're living your life for. If the aims of our lives could be revealed and projected like that, would it be something that we could be proud of and know that we did the right thing? What is your purpose for living? Now, I'm not talking about what do you do to make a living, but brother, the supreme overarching purpose of life. Does it contain an eternal value? And are you living daily for Jesus Christ? A third thing, we must also be willing to pursue our purpose in life with a commitment. Not only to say, preach, I'll do that, but do it. Listen and then do what the Spirit leads you to do. That's what they were doing in the Mark chapter. They were looking at it, and then they were going out and doing something about it. What a wonderful community and opportunities that we have as we now look at going into a new year on January the 1st. And I would ask you, what are you planning to do? Maybe something different from what you have been doing. Oh, we say, well, we'd kind of do business as usual. May I share this and then I'll close. What we are about as the redeemed family of God is much more important than that. We are dealing with life and death situations. Nehemiah has been mentioned here tonight or this morning, and there was a roll call of the tribes when God is calling his people to rebuild the wall. You remember that? And he has here the phrase, there is one startling expression. And here's what the leaders said. This would be the pastors and deacons. Their leaders put not their hands or shoulders to do the work of God. Think about that. Think about how the preacher begs sometimes, you know, and tries to show you how to do it. And again, to these people who've already shared today, the singing is a blessing. I just enjoyed myself, Pastor. I just enjoyed that and patted my foot a little bit. Said amen, you know, to myself. Oh, here is the picture. They, as I understand this reading from Nehemiah, I read it this week, said their leaders did not put their shoulders to the work of the Lord. Now, what does that mean? It means that they didn't get the job done or didn't try. Their traces were slack. When I was doing this, I said, well, I don't need to tell those people that I've plowed a two-horse plowing thing out in the field and that we had 40 acres to back up. And I was so little, I could, when I got to the edge, I'd just throw the thing like that and they'd drag it around. I'd say, whoa, and I'd get it and hold it again. And, you know, I'm always remembering, and I thought about this when I thought about the bowl road, when you see a two plowing mule or whatever, one of them will be, you'll look at it and you'll see that they're not, the chains are not tight for him. And so that's what we do. I've seen this, and I've done a little bit of it, you know, before I try to get straight with the Lord and have him to have me to help people get right. They called it, for in the little note that I had, plowmaster. If the two mules were plowing, you'd say, well, the wonder if the other one knows that it's doing. And I know one thing, that mules are not dumb. And, you know, you tied up and you're going to pull. You know, I'd let up too a little bit, you know, if I thought about it, get away with it. But the plow master knew. There's situations in life that we need to look at. And my time is getting short here and getting long too. The royal road, because we can rejoice as we travel the royal road, because we know that our resources are always more than adequate. Now, if you don't get anything else, that's it. St. Paul said in Philippians 4:19, listen up. But my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And the Lord said to St. Paul, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. Sometimes we look at God and wonder, can I really, really count on God to do what he's asked me to do? He says, my grace is sufficient, an adequate resource in prayer, a resource of a mighty companionship, and I can do all things through Christ who gives me my strength from day to day. Bringing this to conclusion, Jesus wrote these words or said these words, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. And just as it happens when metal, and I've done this week working at the house, when metal hits something and the power is there and it kind of scares you, you know, that's how God comes into our life. Have you had, I'm talking to everybody, have you had a redeeming, a changing, a life-changing experience with Jesus Christ? Have you found a worthy purpose for your life? Are you ready to pursue that purpose with commitment and abandon? In other words, whatever it takes. Can you rejoice in knowing that because God's resources will be victorious in the end? Folks, we can know those things if we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to lead the way for us. I run across this little piece here that I preached about it years ago, and I'd like to close with this. In living life, and I can do this for myself, when I got up to, you know, 18, 19, 20, but when I was 26, I had made a change working with the furniture company, and I wasn't making but $45 a week, and I think we had maybe one child then, and it was okay, but my boss called me in one day and he said, "How old are you?" And I told him I was 22. And he said, "I got a place that I think you can fit in." And I went to Siler City, and I thought I could do anything else anybody could do. And they gave me a job. And so for 5 years, Gene and I, we got married, and no children then. We began to go to church and try to live for God. And that's what we tried to do, and we didn't do this for the money, but my boss, he said, here's what you can do, take it and go with it. And so the next four years, I came up making $18,000 a year, and then they gave me more and more and more, and then God said to me, I want you to go to school. And so I said, well, I can't do that. And then somebody and somewhere, somehow said, yes, you can. And they did, and I've never lacked for food or anything that I did not get if I trusted God for it. But back to the final story here. Story of G.H. Morrison, the old Holiness Methodist. I'd picked that up like it was in the piece. Coming home from a mission tour. Maybe you go down there to the wherever, Florida or wherever. And he's arriving And lo and behold, the President of the United States was in the same plane. President of the United States, Teddy Roosevelt. A band was playing, a big band was playing. Hail to the Chief was played. But nobody knew that George Morrison was on board. He'd been over there for years and years and years as a missionary. Now he's coming home, an old man. But as he saw what was happening, he knew he had to go to the railroad station and back to Wilmore, Kentucky. He was going to Asbury Seminary, and he said to God, this is what he wrote, said to God, God, it's not right and it's not fair for somebody to have luxury and nobody is here to meet me. And I don't have anybody that cares about me. And he looks at that, and he thinks about it some more. And he was just saying, I know that nobody cares. Nobody cares where I'm alive or not. And he kind of stumbled around till he got to the door of the place where he was going to spend the night. And he went in and got on his knees, and he prayed, and he said, God, I've tried to serve you, and nobody was here to meet me. Like, well, why wasn't somebody here to meet me? And he said, just as soon as he got up off of his knees, just as soon as he got through saying that, he said, just as clear as it was a voice, somebody standing right at the door. He said, son, you haven't got home yet. Now you have to kind of try to get a hold of that and be 82 years old, 83 years old like I am. There, I just told my age, preacher. But you know, somebody said, when you're going to quit? And 20 years ago, I said, I'm going to quit now, but I didn't quit now. And I don't plan to quit. Jesus, God said, you haven't come home yet. Let me pray with you. Father, thank you for this service that we have had. Lord, just a wonderful, wonderful service of praise and thanksgiving and missions and things that we know that we need to do. And Lord, I just thank you for the privilege that I have had to be here where I used to be for some years. And Lord, you have been with me. You've been with me with my children. You've called two of my sons into the ministry, and that's going forward. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Thank you for giving us good voices like every one of these people that walked to the front today. Giving us good voices that they can use and honor you and glorify you. Father, if anyone here today has a need to come to you and rededicate their life or join the church or become a Christian, I pray that they'll do it. They'll think about it. Think about it today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Pastor.
Book and open to page 424, Heavenly Sunlight, page 424. Great story to end with, Baxter. Thank you for the message. I guess this isn't homecoming, this is homegoing. We're still on journey, but it's good to see you here today. And the Lord has been very real in the music and in the message. And now the question is, what will we do with that? We've lived a week, haven't we?
here we are in this holy place at this holy moment, a time to make a decision about this coming week. As God leads, would we respond as we stand together and sing? Been a marvelous day to this point, and it's not done yet. In just a moment, I'm going to not only pronounce our benediction, we're going to close by singing, "Blessed be the tie that binds," but then we're going to go eat, and there is a ton of food over there. If you're visiting with us, this is your lucky day. I want to tell you what, you have hit the lottery. You need to stay. There is more food than we can consume. Normally, I'd like to ask our guests to stand at the door, but I'm going to ask them to go that way through that door and be first in line. I'm going to ask everybody else to go that way, and we're going to make the line that way and go in, okay? So some of you have already, I know the shortcut. No, we need you to go that way, okay? Because it creates a bottleneck, and if we can all do that, I think we can go through the line quickly, and there is a great deal of food. So if you would help, and that way you'll have to come by me and shake my left hand as you do that today, and we'll look forward to that fellowship. Leonard, I'm going to give you one more left hand. God bless you, my brother. I love you, and I've enjoyed serving with you, and I am glad to be here on this day when we honor you, an honor well-deserved and well-earned. God bless you. Baxter, thank you for your faithfulness in so many ways, and thank you for being with us today. So y'all get to take the shortcut in your family, but the rest of us are going that way. So now as we leave this place, okay, we'll let Baxter go. I'll let you take care of him when I get through, okay? Let us do so in God's peace, in his power, and his abiding presence. We might be his people in the midst of all his people. After I pray, I'm going to ask y'all to join hands, and we'll sing in closing to that prayer, "Blessed be the tie." Lord, go with us from this place on this day when we give you thanks for a faithful witness for 112 years in this place, in this community. And Lord, may we continue to be faithful, walking the royal road, and in this day and time, the day less traveled, until you come and we find ourselves going home. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's sing together.
Bless me, God.